If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Welcome to Spirits Podcast, episode 28, Kali.
Oh God, my beautiful goddess.
This episode is short, but it is fierce.
Yes.
And it's lovely.
Like my favorite Shakespeare character.
I know.
I quoted it. Though she be but little, she is fierce.
I think I got you that as a magnet in high
school. Yes, you did.
True?
And a mug.
Oh, nice. Nice.
I think that was my college going away gift that you got me, which was really, really
That's
cute.
That's probably true. What are we drinking during this episode?
So we recorded this episode on a Sunday morning.
We did.
So mimosas.
Mimosas. And we had a little, I think, mango juice in
yeah,
there.
Yeah, a little yeah. Indian-inspired, like, cocktail.
Exactly, Southeast Asia twist. It was dope. But before we get into it, I just wanted folks to thank those of you who have taken our survey, our listener survey. We got lots of responses, but we need about 100 more. So if you haven't filled it out, just go to spiritspodcast.com/survey. It takes 5 minutes. You can skip the last page if you don't want to fill it out.
You only have to fill out the first two pages. I know a couple of people are like, oh, this takes forever. It takes 5 minutes if you don't fill out everything.
Yeah, yeah, only a few things are mandatory. But, you know, if you want to go for the whole thing, we super appreciate it. That'll help us hopefully find some sponsors and keep the show sustainable. Maybe if we get lucky to make it weekly, if we're able to find the support.
Guys, we're planning things. We want to do these things.
So many things. Bi-weekly, there aren't enough episodes in the year for all the stuff we want.
I know. We have so many guest episodes coming up and so little time. We're gonna try and figure a way around that.
I know. Oh, so many people. And I guess we haven't said it in a while, but if you want to tell us a myth, if you have a guest recommendation, if you have a podcast you love that you think that we should guest star on or vice versa, email us, spiritspodcast@gmail.com.
Or, you know, hit us up on Twitter. We're always on the Twitter.
We're always there.
Yes.
Whenever we get a new tweet, Julie and I like text each other immediately. Like, oh, did you see this tweet? They're like, yes, we saw it.
So we have so many new patrons to thank since we saw you guys last. Or since you listened to us last.
Either way, we just hit 50 patrons. Yay, which I'm
so
happy
good
about.
Job.
Thank you. And we're exactly 2/3 of the way to our next goal, which is upgrading our microphones.
So if you want us to sound even better, we sound pretty good right now, if you ask me. But whatever.
We couldn't sound bad.
You can check us out at patreon.com/spiritspodcast.
And thank you to Megan N, Soha, Ryan, Mary, AR, Jeffrey, Megan P, Alex Chan, Jeff, Rita, and Kate for your support. And as always, to our supporting producer level patrons, Leanne Davis, Shannon Alford, Phil Fresh, and Catherine Addington. We love you.
We love you all, you beautiful multi-armed gods and goddesses.
You'll get the joke, it's Kali. And speaking of love, we also had a ton of fun on Twitter this week, sharing our favorite women-run podcasts for Galentine's Day.
Oh, it was so much fun, guys.
It was awesome. It was kind of annoying scheduling all those tweets, but worth it.
You did a good job with that.
Thank you, Jules. Listener, you can search #podgalentine on Twitter to see all of our recommendations, or go to spiritspodcast.com/podgalentine to see an archive of all of our picks.
And Amanda, psst, happy belated Galentine's Day.
Ah, thanks, babe. To you too. And to our listeners, you're all our Valentines this year.
So have so much fun listening, guys, and let us know on Twitter and Facebook what you think. We're at Spirits Podcast.
And without further ado, enjoy Spirits Podcast episode 28, Kali.
So I've been thinking a lot about the kind of stories I want to focus on, this being our second season, second year.
Hell yeah.
Whatever.
Year two. Yeah. Makeover. Someone's got a new haircut. I've got a new tattoo.
Oh God, I'm loving it. So I kind of want to talk more about sort of deities, spirits, legends that I find inspiring. The kind of spirits that we can talk about, that we can learn something from and apply it to our own lives.
I'm into it. You know I did that.
Basically, this year of spirits is going to be a little bit more of boozy introspection, sort of a lens of looking at our own lives through amazing stories.
A lot of what we end up cutting is me talking about death after you introduce
that is true.
A myth to us. Listeners, you may think that you hear all of it. You don't.
Well, this year, hopefully, no, I was going to say hopefully a little less death. It's not going to be a little less death.
Listen, man, if we could just, I don't know, make death interesting, funny, you know, we'd raise a glass and talk it over. Like, I think our listeners are down for that.
So with that in mind, I want to talk about someone that we learned a little bit about during our time episode at the beginning of this year.
Yes.
In Hinduism. I hope you know where I'm going with this.
Oh my God. There's the many-armed mother of my heart.
Yes.
Kali.
Indeed. In Hinduism, there is this constant war between gods and a group of demons.
Okay.
Basically, demons in ancient Hinduism are the half-siblings of the gods, kind of like the titans and the gods in Greek mythology.
Yeah, cool. And the fall of Lucifer kind of idea.
Yeah. So demons are these powerful, evil beings who represent the, like, ignoble passions of the human mind.
I love that.
So keeping that in mind.
Are there not both sides in us at all times?
Yes, you know? There are. In fact, indeed. So in one of these battles, it is sort of the birthplace of one of the most important goddesses in Hinduism, Kali.
Kali.
My girl. I love that girl.
I need a Kali enamel pin.
Oh, yeah.
What if we got a Kali enamel pin holding a microphone and a pair of headphones in her arms?
I want it. I'm so into it.
Listeners, get on it.
Get on it. Draw it for us. We'll make it into a pin.
Our artist listeners, draw it. We'll make it.
So basically, the story of Kali actually starts with another goddess, a warrior goddess named Durga.
Okay.
Durga is this amazing warrior in her own right. She has 10 arms. They're each carrying a weapon. She's usually depicted riding a tiger or a lion into battle against demons.
Wow.
How cool is that? I love that. That's such a good image and terrifying at the same time.
Yeah. And like, you know, much like an action figure where you can change out the arms or something, you know, you have your whole arsenal available to you at all times.
I love it. So in this particular fight, Durga is up against the Mahishasura, which is also known as the Buffalo Demon.
Cool.
I don't really know too much about the Buffalo Demon. I just assume that its attributes are both humanoid and buffalo-esque.
I'm super into the buffalo in Native American mythologies.
Mm-hmm.
So any buffalo demon.
Different kind of buffalo. That's like person. The bison. This is right. World water buffalo.
Yes.
Cool.
Yeah. Horns, etc.
So during this battle, Durga becomes so enraged that the embodiment of her anger burst forth from her forehead. And that embodiment is Kali.
Yes!
It's so cool. It's very also like Athena bursting out of Zeus's forehead, fully clothed, fully ready for battle.
Yeah, and like, I mean, you know that I love a good vengeance spirit.
Yes.
But like especially like a female spirit or goddess as just the instantiation, the like embodiment of a super powerful emotion that was so powerful, it burst out of a god.
It's such a cool metaphor.
Yes.
It's so cool.
Like coming right out the womb, like ready to fight.
I love it so much. I love basically every story that involves Kali in this episode. So you're going to super enjoy it.
Yes.
When Kali is born out of Durga's forehead, one of her most distinguishing features is her black skin. None of the other goddesses or gods have this like really dark black skin. It's usually shown blue in most art depictions just because you can't show facial features too well with just
super dark.
Yeah. Not pigmented, like super pigmented, not gonna work. So she bursts forth. She's immediately full of rage, just goes wild. She slaughters the demon and his whole army. She also devours them.
No big deal.
She devours them after she kills them. And strings
waste
their
not, want not, y'all.
Strings their head into a chain that she then strings around her neck as a necklace.
Yes.
Which I'm in love with. I want to rock that necklace. Wearing the heads so of your hard. Enemies. The problem is Kali cannot come out of her rage.
Oh, yeah.
After all the demons are killed, Kali's rage then turns to any wrongdoers, which frightens the shit out of the humans who are nearby.
Yes.
Because all of a sudden she's, you know, beating up the town drunk. And the dude who gambled too much and stuff like that.
Nope, gotta have a little bit of mediation or forgiveness in there too.
So she's frightening humans. She's also scaring the gods a bit. Because she's a bit crazy and she's really scary. And everyone's like, Durga, what did you do? And Durga's like, I don't know.
As we've learned, the gods fuck up too. You know, like no one wants a moral authority that you can't reason with.
Yeah. So the solution ends up being Shiva. Shiva is basically the creator and destroyer god in Hinduism. So he's able to stop Kali's wrath by lying down in her path.
Wow.
When Kali realizes who she's stepping on, she finally calms down, supposedly out of embarrassment.
An unstoppable force meets an immovable object.
Yes. And this origin story ties Kali to her worship and association with battlefields and cremation.
Makes total sense.
Yeah, I like it. But that's not the only birth story that has Kali in it. She's a bunch of different ones.
Just variations on a theme?
Well, it's interesting because they're variations on different aspects of her worship.
Oh, for sure.
Which I think is really interesting.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you have a goddess who is a destroyer, but also is involved in time and has a bunch of different battlefield and human sexuality and motherhood. So we kind of go into that.
Yeah. And I think about cremation, like there's, you know, there's a kind of, I don't know, like a peace and a quietude in there too.
Yeah. And I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like the calm after the storm, which is what Kali is all about.
Exactly. I really appreciate that she is, that she's meant to have super dark skin, you know, the kind of like politics and discrimination with, you know, skin color and the caste system in India. Yeah. Like there's all kinds of, you know, baggage and politics there that I'm not qualified to parse, but you know, I dig that she is not, you know, not all evil. And she's not just like, oh, because her skin is super dark, like she's evil, blah, blah, blah.
Interestingly, you know, she's more complex. We'll talk about why she has dark skin in a later story.
Let's get to
it. We'll get to it. Another story of Kali's birth associates her with the goddess Parvati. Who we also known as Parvati Patil because goddamn.
Hell yeah.
Good reference in Harry Potter. Love it.
Yes.
So Parvati is a mother goddess who is associated with fertility, love, devotion, and divine strength and power.
That's awesome. Also, I just want to note that we have just now been recording for 10 minutes. So we managed to get the Harry Potter reference in the first 10 minutes.
There we go.
Which is just, it's in our rider. It's a contractual obligation.
Basically a contractual obligation at this point.
So motherhood, goodness,
love, fertility, devotion.
All of it.
Which is good because she is Shiva's consort.
Makes
so
sense.
She's the like head bitch in charge next to Shiva.
Yeah. And like obviously creation, destruction.
Yeah.
You know.
Shiva discovers a demon named Daruka who can only be killed by a woman. So he asks Parvati because she's, you know, his love. He asks
her, would you run down this road for some milk? Also, please kill this guy.
Pretty much. Parvati responds by literally jumping down Shiva's throat.
Oh.
Yes.
Does she like take over from the inside?
No, there's a reason. Shiva, in an earlier story, had swallowed this type of poison that had been polluting the ocean. The demons had put this in the water and it was going to pollute the ocean and kill all the humans.
Also, like way ahead of your time, y'all.
Yeah, good job. Shiva, when he swallowed that poison, the poison was lodged in his throat, but because he's a god, obviously he didn't die.
Yeah.
So Parvati knew that there was some poison still in his throat. So she goes down his throat, becomes combined with the essence of the poison.
Whoa.
And her skin becomes dark and she becomes Kali.
Wow.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, it's really cool.
That's amazing.
She then leaps forth in this new form and quickly kills Daruka.
I love that so much. And I really want to have a like modern retelling where the god like soaks up an oil spill and then the person and then like the god,
ooh,
you know, like
that.
Jumps into their throat or their body or whatever and becomes like, I don't know, like can control, you know, elementals or some kind of like concentrated carbon, like has firepower or something good like that.
Damn.
Idea.
That is.
You can have that one for free, world. And by free, I mean, we can discuss royalties.
I dig it. She kills Daruka, but Shiva praises her. And when he's praising her, he calls her the Dark One, which is literally what gives Kali her name.
Wow.
Parvati is kind of offended by this because she's been known in stories as Gauri, which is the Fair One.
Mm.
So Parvati sheds her black skin. And that black skin becomes Kali in her own right.
Oh, I see.
So which is really cool.
She's the like snake skin weaving who is actually badass and righteous.
Yes. And this also gives Kali another name, which is Kaushika, which means the sheath.
Oh.
Yeah, that's cool, right?
That is so cool.
I like that one a lot.
And it's great because it's like she isn't defined as being a vessel.
Right.
That's just the thing that existed that her force animated.
Yes.
You know, like it's a different thing. She's not just a receptacle or defined by like someone else's leavings. That was the occasion for her to come into being.
Right. And that's a very much of a Hinduism idea because with Hinduism, we have reincarnation and the spirit becomes sent into different vessels as your karma reflects.
For sure, yeah. And you kind of animate what's there. Everything is part of one big universe, right?
Like, yeah.
You know, it's very much about reuse.
Yes. So I think that story, I wouldn't have put that together, but you pointed that out and it was really good.
That's why we're a good duo.
Yes, it is. One final origin story for Kali.
Yes.
One of the most dangerous demons was named Raktabija. Raktabija.
Sounds right.
Yeah. I actually think I pronounced that right. Michael Schubert from the Potterless podcast keeps asking Eric to put together a
sizzle reel of all your mispronunciations. Sizzle reel of
all my mispronunciations. And
listen,
I want to kill
people,
him.
This podcast is free. We do it for fun. We'll do the best we can.
So Raktabija literally means blood seed.
Okay.
So whenever his blood was spilt, another demon identical to him would emerge with it.
Yeah,
which is awesome power, but really difficult to beat in battle, especially in an age where, you know.
Right, because anytime you start harming him.
Blood is always shed.
Yeah.
There's a lot of like knives and scythes and shit.
Hard to do a bloodless KO on the battlefield.
Yeah, pretty much. So there was no real way of defeating him because he kept emerging. So the gods decided to work together to combine all of their divine energy and produce a super being that could kill Raktabija for good.
I'm just picturing as a kid, I had a like three foot high, mm-hmm. like transformer garage, but that garage was a transformer and like it had like in its belly was like four or five different
really?
Things you could put the thing
this
in.
This was a thing you owned?
Connor owned, okay. My brother, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so there was like four or five different little things that you put the car version of the transformer into. And it was like those, you know, double decker car carrying trucks that you see on the highway. But then the belly opened and all of the things came out and they all transformed. And it was incredible.
And that was the only thing you know about transformers.
I think one of them is called, hold on, not Metatron.
You're real close.
Not Firebird.
No, you were good on Metatron.
Just... No, I know. No, phone a friend.
Megatron.
Megatron?
Megatron, Optimus Prime, Bumblebee.
Optimus Prime, that one I think I knew. What is the Mega Man? Mega Man is different.
Mega Man is different.
And then the Pokemon that are the magnets?
Magnetron. Magnemite and Magnetron.
Magnetron. Those all sound very similar.
You did good there.
This has been mid-90s Your Brother's Toys Corner with Amanda. Moving on.
Okay. The gods combine all their divine energy to produce a super being that will destroy the demon for good.
Yes.
The result of their energy combining is, of course,
what if
Kali.
You, though?
Oh, what?
Okay. A, great. Yes. Sorry to ruin the moment there. B, what if you entrapped this demon in like a bubble where and cut his throat and then quickly like put him in a bubble so that as the blood spilled out and the new things were formed, eventually he was crushed under the weight of his own mass.
That's a cool idea. Kali's got a better one though.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So Kali, she has 10 arms. She's given all the divine weapons of the gods. She meets the demons in battle and manages to swallow them whole without spilling a single drop of blood in the process.
Yes.
Then she kills Raktabija himself by lobbing off his head and then drinking all his blood so none can fall onto the ground. Like straight up vampire style.
Oh, I love it.
It's really, really, really good.
And especially, you know, when there is so much mixed up in womanhood and in femininity and like myths about women, about, you know, speaking up too much, about being smaller, about being neater, you know, kind of modern age, we're all meant to be restricting our diets and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And just having a woman goddess who is like gluttonous and that's part of her power. I just love that image.
Yeah. So like she cannot be satiated and she goes into these rages that can only be stopped by the highest god. And it's beautiful. It's such an amazing image.
And like that is her like power and her legacy. And like that's what she is here to do.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about how Kali is typically worshipped.
Sure.
So she's usually worshipped as, there's sort of a duality to her character. Yep. She's worshipped as this fearful fighting figure, portrayed with the necklace of heads. She has a skirt made out of arms. She has this lolling, mocking tongue that she uses during battle to kind of like mock her enemies and send them into a rage or into fear. Which we talked about a little bit when we were talking about Medusa.
Yes.
If you remember.
Yes, we did. And I'm picturing like a butterfly tongue almost, like a straw to drink her enemy's blood.
I love
which
that,
I think
actually.
Is great.
I want that instead. Yes.
I also want an arm skirt, not gonna lie.
That's really cute. It's a good look.
Arm skirt, head necklace, can't lose.
So she has this image of the fighting figure, but she also has this benevolent mother goddess figure, especially she's associated with motherly love.
Interesting.
So like
which is also you know, insatiable and unstoppable. And like moms lifting cars off their kids.
Yeah.
Like, yes.
Dude, I'm so into that. So she's like very protective of the people who worship her.
Yeah.
She's also associated with sexuality. So in a lot of stories, she's described as extremely beautiful and irresistible to humans and gods.
Huh.
I didn't do any stories about that because I love the image of her sucking down blood of demons instead.
No. That's the image I want to focus on. But another kind of, you know, insatiable hunger type, like, I mean, these things are all kind of together.
So I kind of want to tell a story of the benevolent side of Kali,
please,
which is really interesting. So there's a story about this group of thieves who want to make a human sacrifice to Kali.
Okay.
How
does human sacrifice go down in Hinduism?
This story is told for much earlier on, like ancient Hinduism.
Oh, gotcha.
It's not a practice that's, you know, practiced now practiced anywhere. You know, it was very, very ancient. This is like pre-Veda stuff.
Yep.
Which is their sacred text. It's basically like you would practice it in Greek mythology or in pre-Christian mythology. Just, you know, you sacrificed this person to the god.
And gotcha.
Pretty straightforward, I imagine.
It was the ancient world. Sacrifice.
We did things. This group of thieves chose a devout monk of a higher caste than them. I think he was a Brahmin, as their victim. So they drag this monk to the temple and they're preparing to make the sacrifice in front of the statue of Kali.
It makes some sense if we're going to put ourselves into the human sacrifice like mindset for a second. Mm-hmm. You know, the holiest, the highest, the like highest potency human sacrifice. It's like the free range and no antibiotic, non-GMO, you know, chicken version.
Yeah. I'm into that. The super organic farm to table chicken.
Yeah.
But monk.
Yes. Like that Portlandia sketch where they're like, what's the chicken's name? What were its likes and dislikes? What was its, who were his sisters?
It really preferred corn. The thieves don't know this, but Kali is outraged by this. They're choosing someone who is a higher caste than them. They're choosing someone who is one of her devout followers.
Yeah.
So unacceptable.
No.
Kali embodies the statue and the statue comes to life. It's amazing.
I love a good statue animation.
I know. So she takes swift revenge on the thieves, decapitates all of them, and then starts juggling their heads around, like plays catch with them a little bit.
Oh my God.
The
amazing.
Monk is...
I'm picturing just like the neighborhood kids around the square just looking at her like, yes.
The monk is, you know, of course, terrified, but also extremely grateful.
Yeah.
And manages to escape the temple and live to tell the tale.
Wow. Yeah. I love that. Also, like now that I think about it, Kali wouldn't want one really pure chicken breast.
Yeah.
She would want like a 20-pack from McDonald's.
Yes.
Like
she wants that 20-pack nugget.
Chicken nuggets because she's insatiable.
Yes. She wants all of it.
Take note, y'all.
Dude, I'm super, super into this image that you've put into my head now of gluttony being a good thing.
Yeah.
I love that so, so much.
It's a harnessable force.
Yeah.
Like it's bad when it takes over and it's bad when it's not, you know, channeled in the right way. But yeah, I mean, especially instead of women goddesses who are pure and ethereal and like float over the ground, I'm so into the idea of a female goddess who is all about like bodily fluids, bodily needs, bodily pleasures. Mm-hmm. Like they're all, you know, wrapped up together in one.
There's another story, speaking of that a little bit, I don't have it written down, so I'm going to try and recall it from memory and I apologize in advance.
Julia, I cannot fact check you.
Oh God, it's okay. But someone else is going to fact check me and be like, actually, you know, this didn't happen anyway.
Guys, we've had mimosas with our bagels, like give us a break.
So in earlier versions, Kali is also a goddess, a protector goddess of certain areas.
Sure.
So there's this forest that Kali is supposed to be protecting. And she's scaring the shit out of the people who live there.
Sounds like a thing.
Because she's being a little crazy and she's being a little rage filled and all of that. So Shiva again has to step in and do something. So Shiva steps in and he's like, you need to calm the fuck down, Kali. And Kali's says, basically, you can't tell me what to do. He's like, okay, here's the thing. We're going to have a dance-off.
Whoa.
And if I win the dance-off, you have to calm the fuck down. If you win, you can just keep doing whatever you're doing. Kali's like, that seems fair.
Yeah,
I think we can do this.
Okay, fair enough. There's rules.
So they spend days just dancing, like match for match moves.
Yeah.
And people kind of gather around and watch this because one, Kali is supposed to be gorgeously beautiful.
Right.
And two, this is two gods dancing.
Dance
Who
of the
wouldn't
gods.
Want to see that?
Love it.
The match finally ends because Shiva realizes Kali can basically do everything that I do. That's a problem. I have to come up with something that she can't do.
Yep.
So basically what he ends up doing is he does this move that is so like uber masculine that it would be insulting for any woman to do it.
Whoa.
And Kali genuinely cannot do the move because it is too like dude bro masculine.
That is so great.
And so she ends up losing, but it's one of the few instances where she is not, I don't want to say she's overly feminine, but where her femininity befells her. Is that the right word?
I think that sounds about right.
That sounds right.
I mean, doesn't she win though? Because she doesn't stoop down to a level.
Yes.
Know? It's I love that.
It's taking the higher road, Kali, which she is good for you.
She is. And I mean, I love these like epic god
dance offs.
It also reminds me, what is that show on Netflix about the birth of rap and hip hop in the Bronx?
The Get Down.
The Get Down. Mm-hmm. It reminds me too of the Get Down, where they're having their kind of first rap battle, mm-hmm. and Jaden Smith is there in the corner and the protagonist is emceeing for the first time. Mm-hmm. And it really is like, I love that show because it really frames these characters and the origin story of this like incredible culture in epic terms, mm-hmm. like in the like dictionary definition of the word epic. And I just love it so much. Like they're framed and they're lit and they're shot with the crowd all around. Like it is as if a divine voice, you know, is coming from within mm-hmm. these men, and really like it's the birth of a new thing.
Yeah. So I kind of want to end the episode based off of how I started it.
Coming back to the beginning, I see what you did there.
How we can learn stuff from Kali through the lens of this story.
Great.
And I was thinking a lot about how anger can be really, really useful as long as it's channeled at the right people.
Yes.
And I think that's definitely something that I want to focus on more in this upcoming year, about sort of focusing my frustrations and my anger and making it into a useful thing and not, you know, hurting others in the process.
Yes.
What do you think?
I think that's a great thing to do. Mm-hmm. Any force is most useful when you channel it. Like that's true in physics where think about, you know, let's say a big bucket of water and you pour it all over the floor. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, it kind of just like slumps all over the floor.
Right.
If you pour it down a pipe, it bursts out the other end.
Yes.
You know, like the more concentrated, the narrower, the smaller, the like volume of the channel that you pour a force mm-hmm. through, the more effective and powerful it is.
Yeah, like putting your finger to a faucet.
Exactly.
Like
yeah.
That.
And that's often how I think of kind of emotion and also like just energy and like willpower in my life.
Yeah.
I would like to imagine that I have unlimited energy and concentration mm-hmm. and enthusiasm and ability.
God,
to
we
like,
just don't though.
I know, but to give 100% at work and 100% to spirits and 100% to, you know, my social life and 100% to my family and 100% to health and wellness. But the fact is then all of those streams are, you know,
weaker.
And weak. For me, it's really about kind of, I think, prioritization mm-hmm. and knowing that, you know, not everything has to be 100%. And to really focus on, you know, what do I want to channel my like life being into?
Yeah.
So that's often how I think of, you know, making life decisions.
Yeah, I like that. Any other lens that you can look at the Kali story through?
Something else that I love about divine stories is that so many of the characters have a like selected antagonist.
Mm-hmm.
And exactly as you said with Shiva and Kali, like kind of created to balance one another out.
Yeah.
And like knowing who your Shiva is mm-hmm. in various parts of your life is really useful.
Yeah.
Like I have a coworker where when I get mad at stuff, I can talk to her and like I just know that her perspective is the opposite to mine a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that like together I can kind of volley a feeling back and forth until it's okay.
Right. She's your devil's advocate.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I have lots of the same like, you know, frustrations and also joys with you where like, you know, I can share things and I know that we volley off or if I'm like, Julia, tell me it's a bad idea. You're like, it's a bad idea, but I feel you, you know, like that happens all the time or my siblings, you know, or in various ways. And just having a kind of, just kind of recognizing where those relationships exist in your life, being thankful for them
mm-hmm.
and also knowing like those are productive ways where you can honor your feeling and you can be like, you know, you don't have to just quash it down. I can be like, Julia, I'm so mad at this like insignificant thing that happened today.
Yeah.
And they'll be like, I feel you, dog. Also, you know, don't go call that person's boss. And I'm like, I know, thank you. You know, like I'm honoring the feeling, I'm allowing it to exist for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I have a mechanism where I can get it down to an acceptable level and channel it in the appropriate way.
Yeah.
Where again, like neither of us is less for having this feeling and for mm-hmm. being specialized in the way that we're specialized. But, you know, none of us exists in a vacuum.
Yes.
And so kind of being able to recognize like what your ecosystem is, where your Shivas are, where you're the Shiva to somebody else,
yeah.
you know, where you're a Kali, where you're a Shiva. I don't know. It's just like, I always have a hard time kind of like diagnosing my like internal universe mm-hmm. and having all these like metaphors and stories to help me do it, is how I operate.
I like that. I like that. And I think we can use Shiva's story to kind of channel our energy a little bit better this upcoming year. What do you
yeah.
think?
Yeah, I totally agree. Also, like women, you know, you don't have to take up less space. Take yeah. up more space.
No, take You're up allowed. All the space you need.
You're allowed. Your feelings, your desires, and your wants are divine.
Yeah, I love it. Stay creepy, y'all.
Stay cool. Spirits was created by Julia Schaffini and me, Amanda McLaughlin. It's edited by Eric Schneider with music by Kevin McLeod and visual design by Allison Wakeman.
Subscribe to Spirits on your preferred podcast app to make sure you never miss an episode. You can find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Tumblr at Spirits Podcast.
On our Patreon page, patreon.com/spiritspodcast, you can sign up for exclusive content like behind-the-scenes photos, audio extras, director's commentary, blooper reels, and beautiful recipe cards with custom drink and snack pairings.
If you like the show, please share with your friends and leave us a review on iTunes. It really does help.
Thank you so much for listening. Till next time.